Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Chulin Daf Samach Gimel. We begin at the second line off the top, back to the list of kosher and non-kosher birds. Amar Rav Yehuda. We have a bird called Shakitna, and he has long legs. Arichei Shake. His shake is, you know, his legs are long. Visumke, and they're red. Sharia. So that's okay, that's a kosher type. Visimonich. So there are some that have long legs, and some, as we're going to see, that have short. So the long ones are okay, visimonich. A good way to remember which one is which, murmuza. Okay, there was a certain type which was called murmuza, which to them was known as a kosher bird, with long legs. So this one, which is similar to that one, is kosher as well. But the other bird from the same, you know, Shakitna family, who are good, say, with shorter legs, visumke, and reddish bodies, asirei, they're aser, they're forbidden, visimonich. A good way to remember this one is nanus. A kohen who's very short, a midget, he's pasul, cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so the short bird is unkosher versus the one with the long legs, which is kosher. Likewise, you have others from the same Shakitna family who are Arichei Shaki with long legs, Viroike, whose body is green, Asire. They're off limits, Visimonich. To remember this one, remember that halacha that we had back with the bird that was exposed to fire. And if the intestinal system has discolored to green, yirukin, psulin, it's a sign of treif. Likewise, this bird which has a greenish complexion is treif, is not kosher. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. We go back to the pasuk with that long list of non-kosher birds. We have one type called the shalach. Which one is that? I'm Rabbi Yehuda hashalach. Ze Hashoyle dogim min hayam. So he draws the fish out of the water. Perhaps that's why it's called shalach. Shalach like shoyle. And Rashi says he's the oirev hamayim, the water raven. Certain type that was known to them. What about duchifas? The next non-kosher bird here is duchifas shahoydoi kofus. Duchifas stands for hoydoi, so the crest, the crown above is very thick. It looks like it's folded over. Hoydoi kofus. Tadinam yachu, we find the same in the Braisa. The duchifas, unkosher bird, is the one that has shahoydoi, its crest, kofus. Looks folded over. And actually, we know about this bird. Vizeu shahevi shamar beis hamikdash. He's the one that delivered to us the shamir, the snail that was used to, Shlomo HaMelech used it to cut the stones for Beis HaMikdash when he couldn't use, you know, metal equipment. So he got it from this bird who was guarding the shamir. Okay, back to the shalach bird that draws fish out of the water, Rabbi Yechanan, when he would observe this Kiavachazi, the shalach bird, Amar, he exclaimed in wonder, Mishpatecha tohim rabo. That's what the pasuk had in mind. Mishpatecha, Hashem, your judgment, your plan, your program reaches the depths of the sea, the fish deep down in the water are controlled. Their lives are dictated by Hashem's decisions, and we see that from the fact that Hashem allows the shalach to go draw out this fish over that fish, and that fish over this fish. And many mefarshim bring it right from this Gemara to the concept of Ashkocha Pratis. It was very precise and exact supervision and dictation from Shamayim as to the events and happenings that pertain even to animals, and even to birds, and even to fish at sea. It's all accurately and precisely orchestrated by Hashem. So whichever bird, whichever fish is meant to die will be caught by the shalach. Kevachazi, nemala, likewise. Rabbi Yechon would observe a nemala, an ant, who has access to food, and Omar, he would say, Tzidkas l'kari gael, your righteousness, Hashem, your chesed, reaches the like the heights of the mountain. That Hashem arranges sustenance even for a small ant, just like for a huge big animal. Amra Meimar. Okay, talking of birds, we have Lakne, we have Ubatne, Sharian. These two birds are okay. They're known to be kosher birds. But Shaknoi, Ubatnoe, well, that's debatable. Depends on where you live. Mokum Shnagu Lechol Oichlem. In places where they would have the custom to consider them kosher and eat them, go ahead. But Mokum Shnagu Shalol Lechol, in a place where they do not, in Oichlem, you refrain. Now, why is it linked to customs? Atu b'min hagatal yamosa, why is the status of a bird dependent on custom? Right? It just depends on whether it's one of the 24 forbidden birds or not. Ain says, well, you're right. The reason why it is dependent upon common practice, well, the Kashi answers like this. Because these birds that we just mentioned, they have one kosher sign, one siman tahara, which should be sufficient provided you rule out the peres and the aznia, which are also one sign birds, which are not kosher, right? So in a place where the peres and aznia are prevalent, so you can't just eat these single sign birds, because you never know, they may be from the peres and aznia family. Lekashi. In an area where peres and aznia are to be found, so you can't just eat a bird with a single kosher sign. You might be encountering the peres or the aznia. Whereas the other location where they would not be concerned, they would eat these birds. That's because ha'ba'asra, that's in a place l'shchichei peres v'aznia. That peres and aznia are not to be found. In which case, you know that a bird that has even a single kosher sign is kosher. Amar Abaye. Birds that are called kue, v'kakue, asire, they're non-kosher. But kakuasa, that's okay, sharia, that's of the kosher variety. But in Eretz Yisrael, marava, they disagreed. They considered the last one, kakuasa, as a non-kosher bird. And in fact, malku ilava, they would give lashes, malkus, to one who eats it. V'karalon, and they had a different name for it. V'karala tachvasa. Now, if you take a look at the Torah in Parshas Shmini, on the list of the non-kosher birds, we have a bird called Tinshamis. Interestingly, if you take a look at the eight shiratzim, you know, the lizards, the slithering creatures, the eight that are metame, we also find an item with the same kind of name, Tinshamis, which leads us to conclude that Tinshamis comes in two forms, in a bird form, and it's a non-kosher bird, and in a sheretz form as well. Tana Rabban. So the Tinshamis that we find amongst the birds, that's boos. It's the most unpleasant sheba oifis. Moos, sheba oifis. Ata oima, you're suggesting that the Tinshamis mentioned amongst the birds is the Bo Sheba Eifais. So it's a type of bird. Oyeinoi Ela Bo Sheba Shvatzim, perhaps. He is the one of the Shvatzim. Okay, so perhaps he's the most Moos of the Shvatzim. And perhaps the Torah is telling us that this type of sheretz, this type of slithering creature, is for some reason included on the bird list as well. So it's sort of like an in-between type of creature, part bird, part, you know, sheretz. So it goes by both names. It has both halachas, both statuses to it. How do you know they're two separate, distinct items? Amras. Here's the answer. Tzelamat. Go apply the one of the 13 formulas that we use to interpret the Torah Shebichsav. Tzelamat mishleish esrei midois shatayr and dreshes behen. And what are the? What is one of those? Davar alamin beinyanai. You meant to comprehend something based on its context. Now, Tin Shamis is mentioned amongst the birds. We can rightfully assume that he's a bird. Bameh hakasav medaber ba'ifais. What is the pasuk talking about? Birds. Afkan ba'ifais. Likewise, the Tin Shamis item mentioned in this setting is certainly a bird. So that leads us to that conclusion. Likewise, Tani Nami Gabi Shuatzim. We have the same discussion regarding the Shuatzim, where Tin Shamis is mentioned as well. It was disgusting of the creatures. Ato, you're saying it's one of the creatures, one of the slithering creatures, Boos Shebeshuatzim. Oh, yeah, you know, Yellow Boos, perhaps. He's one of the Oifis. He's not a slithering, crawling creature. And perhaps the Torah is saying that this type of bird is also considered like a sheret, so he belongs sort of in both families. Amris, the answer is no. Tzeilamad, mishleish esrei midos shatayr and dreshes behen. Right, go to the one of the 13 formulas, which is davar halamed meinyanai. We understand based on concept, on context, on setting. Because of medaber b'shratzim, since the pasuk here is speaking about shratzim, afkan b'shratzim. Likewise, the item called Tin Shamis is classified as one of the shratzim, and that tells us that we have two separate. Interestingly, we have two separate creatures called Tin Shamis. One is a bird, and one is a sheretz. Amar Abaye, bo'z shaboifos kipoif. He says that the Tin Shamis, which is not a very likable bird, is also called a kipoif. Okay, has another name. Bo'os shebeshrotzim kurpedai. So the Tin Shamis, which was the most of the shrotzim, also goes by the name kurpedai. Amar Yehuda, we have kos as one of the unkosher birds. Zoi, that goes by another name, Hakuk. That's the cook that we know about. And what is the Rochem? Zushrakrak. It goes by a name, Shrakrak. Amar B'yechanan. Lama, and apparently to them it was known, you know, what these things mean. Lama Nikrishmai Rochem. So why was this bird called Rochem? What is the significance? Kiva Shabbat Rochem Bo Rachmer. Lo'ilam. This Rochem bird shows compassion, his kids, he feeds his family, so it's an expression of Rachmanas. In fact, when he comes around, he does his thing. Likewise, it arouses Hashem's compassion, Bo Rachmem, Loilam. So that brings about rain to the world. And Brach. Omar Bibar Bai. Uhu Diyasu Amidi, V'Avit Shrakrak. He says there's a telling sign when it's going to rain. He says, provided that this bird is perched on something and whistling away. And then we know that the rain is on its way. Okay, so they had this observation that, in fact, whenever he does that, it triggers this bracha. Ugmiri. Furthermore, we had a Masaira, a Kabbalah tradition, the Yasuva Ara. If he deviates from his regular practice of perching himself and shrieking, rather he sits himself down on the ground, Visharak, and he whistles then, Asa Mashiach, that's a very good sign for Kali Yisrael that the redemption is on its way, Mashiach is about to arrive. Mepharshim explain the connection between sitting on the floor, which denotes humility, anava. And that's the schus that will trigger Mashiach. Shenemar eshra kolahem ve'akamtzam, we have a pasuk in Zechariah that the ingathering of the exile, the redemption, is connected to eshra kolahem, to whistling. So they had a masera that it was related to the shrika, to the screeching of this bird. How could we say these two things are linked? There was a story about this type of rachem bird who's sitting on the ground. Krubba is like a plowed field. And he was whistling away. And not only did surprise not arrive, not only didn't we have Mashiach, but also gull. Not only that, a stone came flying by and bashed his head. So how could that Amr le Yahu by the Hava? He says, yeah, because that bird was a faker, it was the wrong time, he was just pretending, it wasn't the appropriate time, and that's why he was silenced in that manner. Rabbi Gershom says that he's just an imposter. It wasn't a real racham bird. It was another bird who was impersonating. Taner Rabbanan. Okay, so we have amongst the Eifais HaTmeim, we have the Oirev, of course, and it says, Eis kol Oirev leminoi. So the raven to its ilk. What is the pasuk coming to add? With the word leminoi, oirev, of course, that's the original oirev, that's the raven. Es kol ha'oirev, what's that coming to add? Lahavi oirev ha'imki. It's coming to add a type of oirev called oirev ha'imki. And leminoi is coming to add lahavi oirev ha'babar shiyoinim. The raven, which is called Ba Barashi Yoinim, which we'll see in a minute. Okay, so the pasuk here is adding those two types as well. Amarma. Okay, let's step back and review. Oirev is the original, Oirev, that's the actual raven. Says the Gemara, Atu Kamon Koi. It almost sounds like the Braisa, you know, was holding the Tana, was holding in his hands. Oh, this is the Oirev right here. Right? So you can see it and you know it. Well, obviously that was not the case, meaning, the Tana is assuming that we know how the standard Oirev looks like. Then he goes and adds all different other types. Maybe we're not familiar with the actual Oirev. There are different types. So wouldn't have it been better? Shouldn't have the Tana sort of pointed out to us signs, characteristics that constitute the standard Oirev? Ella Ema, rather, we have to revise the Braisa. And the Braisa actually explains itself and identifies for us all three types. So the first is the Oirev. The Braisa continues. The Oirev, Uchma. So we add a word. The actual black one, the real black one. Chenu Ema, as we find in Shir Ashirim. That blackness relates to the raven. Black, like a raven. So that's number one. The next type is ha'imki, right? The oirev ha'imki. What is that? That's chivara. He's called imki because he's whiter. He's white. Chenu oimer. Why is he called imki? Imki means deep. Because light, in contrast to dark, seems inverted, deeper than the surface, as we find by the Negatzaras, which was that light-colored blotch on his skin. And the white-colored blotch appears recessed in contrast to the darker skin surrounding it. As the Pasuk said, and the image, the color of the white blotch is Amak, is deeper minar than the skin surrounding it. Like the sunlight, which appears deeper and recessed in contrast to the shade next to it. Hence, it's called Oirev Imki because of its light color, in contrast to the standard Oirev, which is black. The third type is V'Oirev Habab Rosh Yoinim. It's also considered a non-kosher bird. Amra Papa. What exactly does this mean? Loitame de asa bereishiyoni. We don't mean the raven that arrives ahead of the pigeons that he travels ahead. Ela the dummy reishel de yoina. The Brisa meant a bird, a raven whose head is reminiscent of a pigeon. So don't think he's a kosher variety. Actually, he's part of the Erev family and he's on kosher. Tan Rabbanan. We have the Nates mentioned as well. Hanates. This is the Hanates, that's the Nates. Limineu, which is said next to Nates. The ilk, the type, Lahabies, Barchirya. That includes another bird called Barchirya, which is also on the non-kosher list. What is the Barchirya? My Barchirya. Amabaye, that's the one we know as Shirinka. Now, what is Chasida? Amravida Chasida, Zudaya Levana. That's a type called Daya Levana. Why such an interesting name, Chasida, which sounds like a righteous bird? And why is it in the unkosher list if it's so righteous? Lo menikra shmo Chasida. Sho'isa Chasidus. It does favors, it provides. Im chavriseh, but only with its friends, with its family. And the Mefarshim explain. And that's why it's an unkosher bird, because it's great to be generous to family and friends. But chesed primarily relates to those who you don't have any interest in giving. No return benefit. No agenda. And perhaps you can add, a bird that doesn't provide, fine. So he's not a provider. But once you're providing, so you have that inherent generosity within you, and you direct it only to your inner circle, that's perverting the concept of generosity and chesed. Hence, its unkosher status. What about the next bird, ha'anafa? Zu dayaragzonis. Okay, that's the one called dayaragzonis. How did it get its name? Ha'anafa. Lama nikrushma ha'anafa. So anafa means anger. Shemina eva, simcha v'rasea, gets mad with its, circle of birds. Okay, now comes a Gemara which will calculate for us the precise number of unkosher birds. We assume it's 24, right? Now, if you investigate further, you'll see there are two listing of birds in the Torah. We have it in Parsha Shemini, in Sefer Vayikra, that was the first time. And there are some differences between that list and the list down in Chumash Devarim and Parshas Re'eh. Okay, so just for clarity, let's call this one Shmini and this one Re'eh. When Moshe Rabbeinu reviewed, the Torah, there were some differences. Primarily, two differences. In Parshas Shmini, well, let's call it Vayikra and Devarim. Okay, in Vayikra we have Da'a, with a Dalet, Da'a. There's no mention of Ra'a with a resh. It's just Da and no Ra'a. In Dvaram we have just the opposite. Ra'a and no Da. Second difference is in Vayikra. It says Ha'aya, right? Lemina to its type. To include its, its ilk. And there's no mention of Daya. Okay, so it's Aya, but not Daya. Verses in Dvarim, it actually mentions both. It says Ha'aya v'Hadaya Lemina. Okay, so two differences. First of all, in Vayikra it says Da'a, and in Dvarim it says Ra'a. Easy to remember, like Dvarim would be like a Reish, Dvarim, so Ha'ra'a. Versus in Dvarim, right, it says Ra'a, not Da'a. And then you have the point of Aya and Daya. In Vayikra it says Aya and not Daya. Versus in Dvarim, it says Aya and Daya. So the Dalet is like Dvarim, right? So it adds Daya to the list as well. Okay, so again, in Vayikra you have Da'a without Ra'a. In Dvarim you have Ra'a without Da'a. In Vayikra you have Ha'aya Lamina without Daya. In Dvarim you have Ha'aya Va'adaya Lamina. Amar Rav Chana bar Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chana b'rei de Rava. And he quotes Rav. Amar Rav. Esrim v'arba oifas t'mein hein. You should know that in total, there are 24 unkosher birds. Okay, as per the list. Amar le Rav Chana bar Rav Chisda. So he was the one who's quoting his father. So he turned to his father, the Rav Chisda, the Heicha. Rav's total of 24. Which parasha is he talking? Where is he relating to? Ida Vayikra. If you look at Vayikra, we're down to 20. Esrim Hav was just 20. Ida Mishnah Torah, if it's Dvaram, which is a review of the Torah, that's what's called Mishnah Torah, you still haven't got 24. Esrim v'chad hav was just 21. How do we get to 24? V'chitemen, perhaps you can suggest. Da d'chsiva v'vayikra v'l'chsiva v'mishnah Torah, the da bird that's strictly in Vayikra, not in Dvarim, Shadya, Alayu. We'll add it to the 21 from Dvarim, but we're still up to 22. Akati, it's still Esrim v'chad hav, it's just 22, not 24. Amar Lezi, it says like this. So Rav Chisda responded to his son, "Hachi Amar Avod Imach Mishmei de Rav." Your grandfather, Avod Imach, your father of your mother, who happens to be Rav Chanan Bar Rava, right? He was the next source on the list who actually quoted Rav, right? He's the one. "Hachi Amar Avod Imach Mishmei de Rav." Explained the name of Rav as follows. I'll tell you how we get to 24. Lemina. Lemina, lemina, lemineu. We find this term four times. It says Hanafa lemina, Ha'ay lemina, Erev lemina, Neitz lemineu, Harekan arba. That adds four more types to bump you from 20 to 24. Yachi says the Gemara, hold it. But now we're up to 26. Akati Yachi Esrim Mishes Havu. He says, why are you stopping at 24? Because, again, if we're focusing on Parsha on Chumash Devarim, which already has 21, you added the Da from Vayikra, that's 22, plus 4 is 26. Amar Abaye. No. Da from Vayikra, Vira from Devarim, it's all one and the same bird, Achasi. How do I know? These are the Tarti Inan. Because if you tell me it's really two, that's unlikely. Why? Michti, look, Mishnah Torah, the whole purpose of Dvarim is loisufi huda'asa, to add detail, to add elaboration on previously discussed topics. So, if that's the purpose of Chumash Dvarim, Mishnah Hacha d'chsiv da'a, or Mishnah Hacha d'chsiv ra'a, v'l'chsiv da'a, why would the Torah switch and instead of da from Vayikra, we'll delete that and insert ra instead? Typically, Dvarim adds, not deletes, not replaces. Right? If in fact there are two birds, it's unlikely that it would now replace one with the other. Elishma mino. That confirms that in fact they're all one and the same. And the pasuk is just explaining it. That bird, that da bird from Vayikra, is really, it has another name. It's Ra. Perhaps they are more familiar with the Ra name, El Shema Mino. That comes and teaches us that Min Ra, the type called Ra, with da, and the da one is the same thing, Achasi. Okay, so that allows us to compress two into one. Ra and da, it's one and the same. Okay, so we're down to from 26 to 25. We're still not at 25. Akati Esrim Chamishav, it's still 25. Amar Abaye, here comes one more compression. Amar Abaye, Kishem Shiroa Vada Achasi, just as we proved that Ra'a and Da merge into one. Likewise, Kach Aya Vidaya Achasi. The Aya and the Daya really one and the same bird. So we're down to 24. Okay, so Aya was the one mentioned in Vayikra and Dvarim, and Daya was added in Dvarim, but it's really just a descriptive term. It's another way of referring to Aya. How do I know? Based on the same rationale. Michti, look, Isak Adai Dachtati Inuf, you're going to tell me it's really two. Michti, look, Mishneh Torah Lo Sufi Da'as. The point of Dvarim is to explain, to add, to elaborate on the previous Chumash. Maish Nahacha Dachsiv Lemina A'ayo. Or Maish Nahasin Dachsiv Lemina A'dayo. Right? So again, Dvarim is not meant to replace and modify, meant to add, to elaborate on what was discussed in Parsha Shmini. Now, in Parsha Shmini, it says Aya Lemina, right? So not just the Aya itself, its whole, you know, family, its whole species. And in Dvarim it says Aya without Lemina, and then it says Daya Lemina. And it left out the Lemina by the Aya, which is inconsistent with Parshas Vayikra, with Chumash Vayikra, El Shema Mina. So that leads us to our conclusion that in fact it's really all the same. In which case, Vayikra and Dvarim are saying the same thing. Aya v'daya achasi. And therefore, it makes sense that in Vayikra it says Lemina next to the Aya, and Dvarim it says Lemina next to the Daya, because it's really the same as the Aya. Just has another name. It's called Aya, called Daya. Okay, so that gets us back down to our desired number of 24. Ask the Gemara. So why did the Torah have to express both, names of the same bird? In fact, Aya and Daya are one and the same bird. So why does the Torah have to say both names? It's Sanya. Cover, all bases, all ways of reference. So that's clear, without any room for confusion or misunderstanding. Kedesanya, Rabbi Omer, Ekrani, Aya. Would be enough for the Chumash to say Aya without adding Daya, which is really the same variety. Daya, Lam, and Emra. So what's the point of adding Daya? Kedei, for clarity purposes. Shaloi Titin, Pischem, Peh. So that a challenger cannot come along, labaldin, lachlik, and dispute, and permit this bird. Shalei teyata kuri aya. He'll say, look, hey, you're calling it aya. That's the unkosher bird, but this is daya. Who kuri daya? He says, no, this is a daya. It's a different bird. That's why we have both preferences to cover both versions. Or ata kuri daya, who kuri aya. Vice versa, you'll call it a daya, and he'll say, it's a aya. The Kach, Kasab, Mishneh Torah. That explains why in Dvar. The pasuk comes back and elaborates further. No confusion. Everything's clear. Va'ro'o, v'sa'ayo, v'hadayo. Any way to call it Lamina to its type is Asr. Okay, so bottom line is, we have a total of 24 unkosher birds. And that's accomplished by merging Ro'o and Da'o, and Ayo and Dayo. Maybe here comes a Kash on Rav, who pegged it at 24. The Brisa says, Lama Nishna, Bibehema. So we find the Torah giving us the kosher signs of a behema, right? The split hooves, choose its cud. We have it in Vayikra. We have it again in Dvarim. Lama Nishna Behema. What's the point of repeating it? That's because we added another type of animal. But that's Siamese back, right? Siamese spine. And he's unkosher, despite having kosher signs, like Emal Lager, Emaf is Pars. That wasn't mentioned back in Parsha Shmini. That's why it's repeated again to cover this type as well. Uba'ivis, Ne'a Ra. The reason for repeating the bird list is to add the Ra'a, which was introduced in Dvarim, and not back in Vayikra. Now, what was the intent of the Brisa? My love, let's assume the point being made about repeating the birds in order to add the ra'ah is consistent with the reason for repeating the animals because of the shesua addition. And shesua was introduced solely here for the first time. Likewise, it appears from the Brisa that ra'ah as well as being introduced here in the Dvarim for the first time and a totally different type than the one mentioned in Shemini. You're saying it's all one and the same? My love, let's assume. But the behema hasam loy sufei, the repetition of the behema, is to add a new type. If it's not loy sufei, likewise by the birds, it's coming to add the ra. It's not the same as the da loy. No, that's not what the raisa meant. Hasam loy sufei. The point of repeating the animals to add a new type, which wasn't there before. Hachal afrushi, but here by the birds, it's merely to explain and to elaborate, because really, ra and da are the same. Upliga the Rabbi Avoh. Rav's opinion that there are a total of 24 birds is in disagreement with Rabbi Avoh, who pegs it at 23. Dam Rabbi Avoh, ra zu aya. He says ra and aya are really one and the same. It has different names. V'lo menikushma ra. Why is the ayah called Ra? He has strong vision. Shara b'yaser. He sees very, very well. He has telescopic vision. B'chinu Omer. You find in an Eiv, in describing the tranquility and success of Sdoim v'Amor, and despite their abundance, they didn't, you know, share their wealth or invite guests. It was so peaceful that even a Nesiv lo yidoya ayot, Zafatu Ayin Aya. So even birds didn't come harass them. The eye of the Aya. They were left in peace and tranquility. They had everything they needed. So we see a reference to the vision of the Aya. Tana, we have a Braisa, which highlights its visual abilities. He made this with bubble. You can have an Aya perched in Bavel, v'roi nevel b'Eretz Yisrael, he'll notice a carcass sitting on the ground in Eretz Yisrael. That's how far he can see. Okay, so this is all Rabbi Avoh, right? That Aya and Ra'a are the same. Midra, I know Aya. Now, the fact that he considers the Ra'a as just another name for Aya, it's all one and the same. Mechla the Da, lav hainu Ra'a. So let's just build it up step by step. Okay, until we're going to get to our conclusion that in fact there are only 23. Because look, clearly Ra'a and Aya are the same. Fine. If that's the case, and if we are to assume, we're going to change that in a minute, but if we are to assume that Rabbi Avoh is in line with Rav, that there are really 24 on the list, so you have to say, Mechlal, apparently the Da, Lavani Ra, Ra and Da are not the same. Because otherwise, we'll have 3 and 1. If Ra'a and Aya and Da are the same bird, you lost the bird on your count. It's down to 23. The question on that is, like we said before, it's unlikely that Ra'a and Da are different. Right? The Da mentioned in Vayikra and Ra'a in Dvarim are different birds. It's unlikely that in Dvarim we're going to replace birds. It's meant to explain, to elaborate, to add, not to replace. Right, like we said before, Michti, look, Mishnah Torah Asubu Da'as, the point of Dvarim is to add, to explain, Mishnah Hachat Iksiv Da, Mishnah Hachat Iksiv Da, why is it that in Vayikra it says Da, and Dvarim doesn't say Da? If in fact Ra'a and Da are different. El Lav Shmami No. Oh, so it must be, like we said before, all along, Da'a v'ra'a v'aya achas. You have to say a Da'a from Vayikra and Ra'a from Dvarim are all one and the same. You have to say that. It's unlikely that Vayikra is talking about one bird and Dvarim a different bird. It's just two different names for the same bird. Da'a v'ra'a is one, and according to Rabbi Avoh, v'aya, which is really another variation of Ra, achas, it's all one and the same thing. Okay, so that explains the change of name, because Da over there and Ra over here is the same thing. Right? It's not a different bird, it's a different way of referring to the same bird. Now, let's take it to the next step. Umidira'a hainu ayah. Now, according to Rabbi Avoh, Ra'a is just another name for ayah. Mechlal, The daya lav hainu aya. So if we're going to keep to our number of 24, that's our aim, that's our goal. So you have to split the daya from the aya. Unlike what was said earlier, the daya and aya are the same. You can't merge that anymore. Because if you're going to merge them, so basically you're merging da'a and ra'a and aya and daya, you're missing a bird. It's all one and the same bird, you're missing a bird. And you're down to 23. So, apparently, daya is not aya. Right? Ra is da, ra'a is aya, okay. So those are three names for the same bird. That's what Revo is chiddush. But I have to split daya off the pack. Daya is a different type of bird. Then you back up to 24. Okay? But you can't say that. We're trying to stick to our total of 24. You can't stick to it. You can't say that. Why? You can't suggest that daya and aya are separate, are different. For the same reason that we're saying all along. Because you find that stark difference between the presentation in Vayikra, where it says Lemineu near the Aya, versus in Dvarim, where it says Lemineu only on the Daya. So earlier we said, it's all the same thing. Aya and Daya is the same thing. But according to our current position, the Daya and Aya are different birds. So Vayikra and Dvarim are inconsistent. That's going to prove that really, according to Rabbi Abbo, all four names coincide. They're all the same thing. Ra'a, Da, Aya, and Daya. So now he's missing a bird. So he's down to 23. Let's see. Maishna hasim dachsiv lemineu aya. If you're going to say that Daya is different than Aya, so why is it that back in Vayikra it says lemineu by the Aya, but Maishna hachad loiksiv lemineu aya, versus Devarim, where it doesn't say lemineu by the Aya, Ella, rather, it says it next to Adaya. After different birds, it's inconsistent. Ella shma mino. So that proves to us that according to Rabbi Avo, Da'a, Vera'a, those two are one, and likewise Daya Va'aya, all four are just names for the same bird. It's Achasi, it's one and the same bird. So here the Torah calls it Daya, here Aya, here Ra'a, here Da'a, and everything works. So now we're missing a bird. Apparently Rabbi Avo holds the list of unkosher birds is comprised of merely 23. Okay, so in conclusion, according to Rav, it's 24 birds. Ra and Da is one, yes. Aya and Daya is one and the same. But according to Rav, all four names relate to the same bird. Tanya. We have another brisa that speaks about the different types of Aya. Isi ben Yuda Omer. Mei Oivis Tmein, Ish v'Mizrach. In the east, you'll find 100 different types of unkosher birds. You call them an ayah, all part of the ayah species. Tani avimi berde revo, shvami is mine dogim hain. If you look around, you find 700 different types of unkosher fish in the world. Ushmainim is mine chagavim. Likewise, 800 types of unkosher grasshoppers. Loivus ain mispur. And birds, forget about counting it. Unlimited. Says, what do you mean? Forget about it. The Torah tells you it's just 24. Eshrim bar bahavu. If anything, it's easier to count the unkosher birds. Only 24 types. Ella, rather, he meant like this. Loifos tahoyrim ain mispar. You're right. Unkosher is limited to 24, but kosher, it's endless. Now, we observe the psukim that present for us the the kosher signs and the list of the behemoths and the birds, etc. We find an interesting contrast because by the behemoths, the Torah gives us the kosher list, the ayil, the tzvi, the yachmer, right? Versus by the birds, it's an unkosher list. Why this difference? Tanya, Rabbi Omer, It was known and clear to Hashem, created the world. There are many more unkosher behemoths and chayas than kosher ones. That's why Monakasa b'Torah. Torah gave us a list of the kosher birds, which is short, concise, and brief. It's merely 10 types. So those are kosher, and the rest are not. On the other hand, by birds, it's just the opposite. By the birds, it's the other way around. The kosher are more numerous than the unkosher. That's why Torah gives us a limited, short list of merely 24. My kamashmalon. What's Rabbi's point? Kederav Huna Marav. It's a lesson for life. Some say Rav Huna Marav, Mishnah Meir. Lo'olam Yishna Adam. The Talmidav, a person should seek to teach his students in a clear, concise, brief, clear fashion. In similar vein to the way the Torah teaches us the halachos, in a way that we can absorb it easily and remember it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oif Tahar Nechav Masoiris. So, one would like to eat a bird, and there's a Masoiris, he has a tradition, he has a Kabbalah, his Rebbe, or... right? Rashi says, Adam Kosher, a reliable person, his Rebbe, or a Tzayot Chacham, a knowledgeable bird trapper, a Yiddish bird trapper, tells you that it's Tahar, it's a kosher bird, this is the one that we eat, then you can rely on it. So eating birds is dependent upon Masoiris. So it seems like the Simanim aren't so absolute, sometimes it's not so clear, and you have to have a Masoiris in order to eat a kosher bird. In fact, the Rush brings, there was a certain kind of bird, Segunya, which in some places was considered a kosher bird, in some places they consider a non-kosher bird. So there's a whole to-do about it, whether you can rely on it or not. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak adds, to what extent do you have to have that Masoiris? So the trapper can tell you, look, my Rebbe, my teacher told me this is a kosher bird, and that's enough to establish Masoiris. Amar b'yechnan, v'hu shebaki b'hen, which may say, provided that the trapper's teacher is an expert, he knows all the non-kosher birds, he knows the names, he knows the varieties, he knows what's one, what's not. But Rab Zera, what did Rabbi Yitzchak mean? What did he mean when he said, my Rebbe told me? He means like the Rebbe in the yeshiva, Talmud Chacham, or he meant to say, my trapping instructor, Rabbi Chacham, meant the Talmud Chacham, my Rabbi Tzayot, his professor in the trapping school. Tashma, here comes a riot on Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan explained Rabbi Yitzchak's directive, v'hu shebaki ben mishmei seyin. You can only rely on the trapper's Rebbe if he's an expert. Yamas mishleim Rabbi Tzayed Shaper. It makes sense if we're talking about instructor in the field. So of course he's an expert, he's familiar with the different types. Eli Amr's Rabbi Chacham, but we're speaking about a Talmud Chacham, a Torah, Torah. I mean, how is he going to be familiar with all the types of birds and animals out there? Mishloimah Shmaya Gamarla, I understand that the names he learns, in the Gemara he knows everything. El Inumini Adil, but how can he be personally familiar with the birds, El Lashmamino Rabbi Tzayt Shmamino. Apparently, we're talking about his instructor in the field. And that's enough to establish, Misera. Okay, let's pick it up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. In the meantime, we have the extensive list of unkosher birds and their descriptive terms and aliases and all kinds of secondary names which they were familiar with. We have different types of ravens. We have the chasida, right? We have the comparison between Vayikra and Dvarim, which led us to merge some birds in order to get us to the absolute number 24. Revo maintains that it's only 23. We reviewed the listing in the Torah and concluded that Lo'ilo Mishana Alim Tamid Darach Tzara. And we had an interesting chiddush that one needs to have a Masaira to eat a kosher bird, and the Masaira can be established by the Rabbi Tzayat. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rab.